And we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1 now. It's on page 213, if you'd like to turn it up, please. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of this year. We just ask, Lord, that you would help us as we reflect on you, what you've done for us, and that you would lead us into 2018, please. Lord, help us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a new year, tomorrow. Can you believe it? 2018. Where did it go? Where did it all go? And the reading we've just had, it's a good one. It's a good one to have on New Year's Eve. It's good to pause. To pause and evaluate where we are on New Year's Eve. And Paul starts with verse 9. He says, for this reason. I think Maureen's already told us what the reason is. What reason, you might be asking? That's a strange place to start a reading. Well, if we look back to the previous verses, we see that Paul is writing this letter in response to the news he's received from Epaphras. And it's been encouraging. Because Paul's prayers have been answered for that little group of Christians in Colossae. The Colossians have responded to the good news of Jesus, not just in a superficial way, but wholeheartedly. And the evidence? Well, the evidence is that lives and hearts have been changed. And they begin to bear fruit. And as they comprehend the grace of God and turn to God, the natural response is worship in every part of their lives. And it's great. He must have been so encouraged. And often I haven't seen somebody for yonks. And I often say, well, how are they doing spiritually? Where are they? And when I hear that they're still walking with the Lord, it's such an encouragement, isn't it? They're still going on with the Lord. And for Paul, in this letter, well, the joy is palpable. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard that they were growing as Christians, he can't stop praying. And he prays that the new Colossian Christians may be, towards the end of verse 9, filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of God's will, wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of God's will. That's what we all want, isn't it? If only I knew what God's will was. What he wants for my life. What he wants me to do. If only I knew. And yes, it's good to pray for guidance. Of course it is. For those important decisions that we might make in life. But life can be far more mundane, can't it? We don't often get those huge decisions that we have to make about careers, if we remember that far back, or whatever. No major decisions to make. But the thing is, we do know what the will of God is. We do know what is God's will is. We know what he requires. His will for our lives, verse 10, can you see it? To lead lives worthy of the Lord. That's his will. That's God's will for your life and for my life. We know how to live. We know what we should be doing. His will for us. It's not popular, is it? It's not glamorous these days. But living lives which are obedient and pleasing to him. Bearing fruit in every good work, as Paul says. It's called holiness. This is God's will for us, as his people. And you notice that it's spiritual wisdom and understanding that Paul's talking about. It's not intellectual exercise, but it's God-directed. And the evidence, we produce fruit. Knowledge of God's will results in lives lived as God wants them to be, and so increases the knowledge of God. Understanding is the fuel for holiness, and holiness deepens understanding. And wisdom, it's in short supply these days, isn't it? Wisdom is what makes us truly human. Someone who will humbly, yet confidently, follow the way marked out by the Creator for his created. And of course, Jesus being that example for us. You know I'm going to ask, don't you? What about you? Are you showing that spiritual growth in your lives? Am I? Or are we in a bit of a rut? Replaying the same old stuff. Not growing in knowledge of God. Not putting into practice our Christian faith. Never really moving on. How can we move on this new year? And the end of the year is sometimes a great opportunity, isn't it? Time to leave stuff behind and start over again. We're good at broken resolutions. Well, maybe you're not good at broken resolutions. I know I am. But this is far much more. It's to be spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge and obedience. And if we're to put it into practice, we need God's help. It's not just turning over a new leaf. Oh, this year I'm going to... It's more than that. It's not just another New Year's resolution. But it requires resolve. And God promises that he will provide the strength for us in verse 11. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, etc. His Holy Spirit, living within us, will provide the strength and power to be obedient and to keep going in the face of all sorts of difficulties. And we need to bring everything to him, even our thought life. Paul says that we take every thought captive to obey Christ in 2 Corinthians. Every thought captive to Christ. So will you? In the coming year. And it's not a chore. Or it shouldn't be. Because Paul reminds us of the joy in following Jesus and obeying him in verse 12. While joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He reminds us just what God himself has done for us in Jesus. And Paul gives the Colossians and us three good reasons for joy and thankfulness. Can you see the first reason in verse 12? He has enabled us. He has enabled us, or perhaps better, qualified us. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Our inheritance. The promised land, not here on earth, but in the kingdom of God, in the new creation, remade and renewed, which we can enter. How do we enter that inheritance? Not by being good enough, but rather the Father has qualified us. It's by his grace alone that we're made fit to gain entry, because Jesus has made us fit. Paul, even Paul, the great Saint Paul, recognizes his unfitness before God in 1 Corinthians. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. God's mercy, God's grace fits us for his kingdom. So the first reason to rejoice and give thanks is our qualification. The second is his rescue in verse 13. He's rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's rescued us from that harsh rule of the prince of darkness to sin, in exchange for the wise sovereignty of God's Son, delivered from sin's grip. That's something to thank God for, isn't it? And finally, redemption. Verse 14. Transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're redeemed people. We now belong to God. What is redemption? It's one of those sort of religious words, isn't it, that people say, and I'm not sure we all fully understand what it means. It means having been bought back, a ransom price paid, like in a slave market. We belong to another, but the price has been paid. Like money being paid, which covers a debt in full. So God himself covers our guilt out of free grace. Paid by the Saviour on the cross as our substitute. A sacrifice in our place. Should have been me on the cross. But he took my place. To buy me back, to pay the debt. And in so doing, he covers the cost in full. On the receipt written, stamp, paid in full. And the effect of this? Reconciliation with God. Sins forgiven. Qualified by God's grace, rescued by God's grace, redeemed by God's grace. Now that's something to rejoice about, isn't it? Something to be thankful for, isn't it? It's not about us. It's about God. It's about his grace. And then in verses 15 to 20, they spell out the glorious nature of Christ and his qualification to buy us back, to pay the debt, culminating in verses 19 and 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Wow. So in the light of all this, will you walk with this kind of a God? Will you freely come to him who's freely given to us? Not a new leaf for a new year, but as we give ourselves to Jesus, he makes us his new creation for this new year and into eternity, living a different life, lives lived for him, and bearing that fruit that's pleasing to him as well in 2018 and beyond. Amen.